You know, it's hard because if you're a chef, self-image for many of us is that we always know what the answer is. Even when we don't know what the answer is, it's been hard, right? Because the truth is that we don't know what the answer is. What's best for our families, what's best for our business, what's best for our employees. We're just navigating as best we can. They're going to have to be fed. We think that family meals can happen everywhere around the country.
The pandemic of 2020 has led to the closing of most restaurants, except for carryout and delivery. Well, we do what we have to do, but we do miss our favorite restaurants. I especially miss the farm-to-table restaurants like Mulvaney's B&L in Sacramento. Like most other restaurants in America, Patrick and Bobbin Mulvaney were forced to close their doors and lay off their staff. Unlike most restaurants, they almost immediately started looking for ways they could get back to what they do best, supporting local farmers and making meals for the public, especially for the needy, senior shut-ins, and school-age kids who were missing meals because their schools closed. He and other like-minded leading chefs decided to get back in the kitchen and start preparing meals for those most in need. In a depressed restaurant industry, theirs is a bright spot of hope. To share how they are again making delicious food and making a difference in their community, I'm happy to welcome Chef Patrick Mulvaney.
Hey, thanks for having us. We're happy to be here. Just me and the dog sitting outside. It's a challenge not having a white tablecloth restaurant where we're not using any white tablecloths is a brand new world for us.
I came to the restaurant before you closed, and you were removing a lot of the tables so that there would be more social space, and you tried that for a few days before you ended up having to close it.
Yeah, and that was just a couple of days, Roger, and you know what happened is that at that time, things were moving so fast that every time we made a decision, it seemed like the decision was too little too late by the time it got installed. And so that's really why at the end of the day on that Saturday night, we just realized that, it was time just for everybody, just because it was safer for everybody, because we didn't know what the future held, and just changing everything. It seemed pretty clear where we were headed.
Up until that time, how many people were employed?
That Saturday, I laid off about 55 people. You know, it's hard because if you're a chef, your job as a chef is to tell people what to do, and your self-image for many of us is that we always know what the answer is, even when we don't know what the answer is. And it's been hard, right? Because the truth is that we don't know what the answer is, right? What's best for our families, what's best for our business, what's best for our employees. We're navigating as best we can.
So at the end of that night, did you pour yourself a drink and sit down and say, you know what, this just isn't going to work?
And it's because it wasn't safe, right? We don't know, what is, and it becomes a responsibility. If a restaurant is a gathering place for the community, it was coming to the place where maybe our staying open was dangerous for our staff and for our guests. And, we just took it as our responsibility to say, okay, this is enough. Let's close and let's take 4 days and figure out where we're going to go from here, right? What does the future look like for our restaurant as well as the food community in general?
Patrick, you know chefs all over the country. Were you able to compare notes? And I'm sure they were facing some of the same issues that you were and decide what you would do next.
Yeah. And so, and some of us said, what's the to-go meal status even here in Sacramento, even though it seemed pretty short-lived, right, with the quarantine, but now you can get drinks to go, so it feels like you're in New Orleans. I didn't get a chance to get a daiquiri anywhere, but how you make that sustainable. And for us, really, the challenge was that even figuring out an efficient and effective to-go plan probably wasn't going to hire that many people back, wasn't going to put too many people to work. And really what we're concerned about is getting as many people as we can back in. So as we sat down over the course of the next couple of days, we thought about one, how did we make sure that everyone was set up on unemployment and get going? But then also we started to think about our friends, the farmers out there, who really they saw a big drop off in what they were able to sell and distribute to people. Produce Express, our produce company, is down 2/3 because they don't, you know, grocery stores are busy, right? Grocery stores are 100, 200, 300% up, and their supply chain is strong. But because much of our food comes from small farms that don't have access to those distribution channels, a lot of those farmers are hurting. And the other piece there, as here, is in the restaurant community, is that for those who are undocumented, it turns out that they are not eligible for unemployment, even though they've been paying for their insurance, and I pay for their insurance. I didn't know they were undocumented. But they're also, they don't take advantage of programs like SNAP or food benefits or Family Medical Leave Act, because they've been told if they do, that will show up as a black mark against them, and they will not be able to become citizens if it ever gets to that point. Yeah, so for me, a real challenge, right, that to have to force a parent to say, we're going to bet on your future by making your present less good, right? We're taking away your, it aggravates me so much I can't even explain clearly what it is. But the idea that these guys are here, and now when we look and see that everyone's at home, but the farm workers are still out there making sure that food gets to our tables the same way that people in my restaurant now are here working to make sure that the 800 meals a day we're putting together gets out and gets into bellies that are hungry.
In addition to the restaurant, you also have an event space.
So that's gone.
Yeah.
So those, yeah. And those actually dropped off. Those really started dropping off in the beginning of March. So, you know, because of travel bans, and then also people saying, you know, I'm not comfortable in this time having a big party for my birthday or anniversary at a time when we're not supposed to be together. So maybe if we were ready to pull the plug sooner than other restaurants, that probably is a contributing factor, because we kind of got to see that leading indicator of banquets, right? Saying that you needed to pull out.
Well, that all brings us to now. You had to shut down the restaurant, but then you started brainstorming some other ideas of where you could help the community, help the farmers, and help people just that were in need of having another food supply. What did you do?
So what we thought about was, you know, a bunch of chefs got together and said, you know, this, what do cooks hate? Cooks hate waste, and they hate sitting around. So there's a lot of anti-cooks, and there's a lot of food still out there in the fields, right, that surround us. We also knew that there's going to be a bunch of hungry people. Our friends at SAC Unified School District are making, they are obligated to create lunch and breakfast for 45,000 students a day just in Sacramento for free and reduced lunch. So really, they're almost at 500,000 meals a week. Right. So that says to me that there was going to be hunger out there. It also occurred to me that senior citizens who are more vulnerable to the virus are going to be shut in, are going to be prone to not being able to get enough to eat. And then behind all those kids who are getting free and reduced lunch stand families that are probably hungry too. And so we thought about what could we do? And we came up with the idea of family meal, which are bags of dinner before. And we started thinking about how we could do it, how we could finance it, had those discussions. Still haven't really figured out the financing yet, but we started 2 weeks ago just making 100 of them a day, so 400, dinner for 400 every day, and then distributing them. One to the church, right, Our Lady of Guadalupe, to help our immigrant friends, and then the others have been going throughout Sacramento to different community centers around. And then this week we've been sending them out also to school sites in the morning and the afternoon. So as families come to pick up their children's allotted breakfast and lunches, we're also providing meals for them as well.
So how do you bring ideas like this to life? You get on the phone, call some other chefs and say, let's kick this around. Can we get this going?
Really, two of us, right? I think that Brad Checky from Canon and Clay, his partner, and I started talking about this. We brought in some other partners. You know, we're chefs, right? So we like to talk to people and we talk to anybody. So so then we started to expand it. Like I said, the funding, we've gotten some funding, so we're bouncing along like a little rock on top of the water. But it occurred to me that this was a strong model, right? Because there are going to be hungry people out here for a while, and we know that they're going to have to be fed. And so so as we moved forward, we made the decision to just start doing it and hope the funding followed. It's been it's followed a little. We're lucky enough that we have a little bit of a cushion, right, in terms of our cash flow for a little while, not too long. And then others have been pursuing the funding to make sure that the money's going to be there. So now we have funding here where the five of us are feeding 800 disabled seniors in Sacramento, and that's a contract that we got from the city of Sacramento and the housing agency as a result of them seeing what we were doing with Family Meal. And so that's really my hope was the as those guys were going out to people to say, this is our idea. Can you help us? Can you support us, either philanthropy or government or personal folks, businesses coming in? And my idea has been to just say, let's do it and get it out there and show that there's a proof of concept so that others can come and say, yes, this is what we want to do. So now we've certainly drummed up a lot of interest, in the program, for us as chefs, because we're mechanics a lot of times, we've been able over the last 2 weeks to prove that now we know how to do this. And now we can share with folks what we think a model looks like. We have a playbook, right, that's been vetted by those of us who are doing the project. And we're going to see what it looks like moving forward and then have those discussions with, you know, I'm a chef, so I'll talk to anybody, right? So that's the government, that's Nyman Ranch, that's the lamb people. I'm going to call your lamb guy later this afternoon and see what's going on there. And people have been very, very generous, right, with the first 2 weeks in terms of helping us with a product that they have, extra product that's not necessarily extra, selling things at a really deeply discounted price, giving us all sorts of products. People have been very, very good. And the workers for the first week here were just volunteers, right, who we said, we're just getting back to work because people are hungry. If you want to come in, I can't promise you that you'll get paid. And we have more than enough folks coming in to help us. But the idea that we can have cooking where everyone is socially distant, right? We can put out now this week, we're putting out 800 meals a day in a way that's socially distant. So they're safe. And then we have all the bags out and we open the doors and then people can come in and take them and distribute them away. It's really been a great advantage.
Are you using your kitchen to put these together?
Yes. And so we're doing 800 out of here, out of this kitchen, and Brad is doing his out of Cannon over in East Sac, and Camden Spit and Larder, and Deneb down at Laurel, Toki at Pincho Yaki. So we're all starting. Each of us are different, right? And we're operating under what we're calling the checky rule in terms of what the bags look like and how much food there is. And that's don't be an a-hole. So we're just keeping everybody on the honor system for what sure. food looks like. And then we go back now to our other friends, right? That as we go back out to the Chef Network through the text lines that we all share with each other about who's got what and what product is coming in, and starting to say, hey, boys and girls, this is a potential. If the state says we need to feed seniors and we need to do boxes and we need to build it in a way, we need to build the system in a way that's not centralized production, this is a potential model. And if that happens, we want you guys to know that this might be coming down the pike. Just so they have a heads up, if you will, so that if we get to that point, we're going to be ready to be able to move quickly and engage a bunch of people. The mayor's office was sitting with us one day and they said, okay, so you four people can do this, but really, are there other people who would be into this? And I started to just rattle off names and I stopped she finally said, stop. And I said, okay, why? She said, because you got to 20. So, and those are just names off the top of my head. So these, so if we're doing 800 meals a day, what that means is, you know, 20 to 16,000 meals a day. And that's without even having to scratch my head or ask hard questions. That's me just saying these are 20 people who I know would be able to do this again, and, but just have to, but we, and we don't need to make $1 million, but we do need to be able to pay our employees, and we want to be able to pay the farmers too.
Boy, that is great news. It's going to be good for the consumers, good for the city. It's going to be good for the restaurants. And the restaurants that you talked about that are in this first tier are working with you. I've been to all of them. They're wonderful restaurants. And the fact that they're stepping up and they're supplying this is just really impressive.
Yeah, well, it's a little interesting now, right? Because we get the phone calls in the afternoon like, hey, Patty, what was in that bag? What's the matter? Was something wrong? Like, no, these people thought it was great. They're not used to that. They didn't expect this to be free food, right? Because we're all, you know, at the end of the day, we're chefs, so we want to make everything taste good. And it's been, so that part's been fun, right? That we get a chance to feed and eat. And it does, you know, what you said, right? You want to keep the economy going. If what we see is folks saying that we need to be the engine that keeps the economy going. And it's not normal for restaurants to stand up and demand like we have or shake our fists at Capitol Hill to ask for money, like we have in this relief package that they're very gracious in giving to us. But the truth is that as we move forward, the restaurant industry and everyone, every sector should ask for that money, right? That they deserve. But sure. The restaurant industry, I think, is uniquely placed because we are the only ones who will, in getting help from the government, will help to continue the economy going because we're going to be putting people back to work. We're also going to be supporting farmers, distributors, suppliers, drivers. And at the end of the day, our output is feeding people, right? Our output is food that's going into bellies that are hungry.
You know, Patrick, I'm watching way too much TV and TV news. But one thing that I'm finding, whoever you're listening to, is that they're all concerned about the future of restaurants. They're saying, well, this business will be coming back, or, you know, Boeing, and, you know, we'll work at the other airlines and others will be coming back. But they're really concerned, everybody's concerned, about the future of independent restaurants. But you're tackling something here that's making a difference and also, I would think, is going to help, you know, the long-term prospects when things get back to normal again.
And the restaurants, well, the restaurants are the gathering space of the community, right? We are heart and soul in many ways of the community. And so it's important for that reason. It's important because we employ all these people, right? The 1.5 million people in California that work in hospitality and the even more people that come into our restaurants and use this as a place to feel welcome and feel at home and feel connected. And at this time, when that's been a big challenge, right, for us as chefs, is what we do is connect people, and we're so used to doing it in a personal touch by standing at the table, putting plates of food down on people. When you break bread at the table, we know it changes relationships. And so what we've had to do is recalibrate that, right? And remember that we're still in the business of hospitality. And even though we are physically distanced, it's incumbent on us to make every effort to keep us socially engaged.
Would you describe what would be in a typical meal?
So this morning was smoked pork loin that Nyman Ranch was kind enough to donate to us. So we had them out for 8 hours on the barbecue, thinly sliced with some lentils and a little tomato sauce, canned tomato sauce, because we are a canned tomato family. And then cauliflower and broccoli in a separate bag. There were some mandarin oranges from our friends out in Yolo, some mixed greens, and I think they did just a balsamic vinaigrette today. And then she made some cinnamon blondies today that went on there. And so that's your bag, and you take it home. And they're all designed to be heat and eat, but safe to eat if you eat them straight out of the bag.
So the logistics must be challenging. You got to get boxes and bags and you know, napkins and all these other things, so that the from the various kitchens you have it ready, packaged up and ready to go?
Yeah, so we and you know, just like anything, it's running a race, so it's challenging in the beginning. But yeah, we have settled in. Sometimes we're using bags, grocery bags to go. We've also been using occasionally beer cases, right? Soda boxes, boxes of the case of soda, canned soda comes in, and then putting the little to go boxes in there because those are easier to stack. So those are better on days when we're doing 160 and delivering them. To be able to stack them is pretty important. When we're sending out 50 dinners for four at a time, 200 people, those 50 bags will fit in the back of a decent SUV or a van or what have you. So that's a little bit different.
Do people come into the restaurant to pick these up?
So these are all distributed, Roger. So what happens is we make these bags and then folks are coming to pick them up. So Daryl Roberts, our friend from North Sac, is taking them out to community centers around Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
And someone's coming from Our Lady of Guadalupe and loads up the back of his truck and then opens the thing. So this morning I was down at Rosa Parks school as folks were picking those up, and I just pulled the van up and opened the door and then just stood to the side of the van, and as people picked up their lunches and breakfast, said to them, here is some roasted pork with chickpea salad and roasted beets available for you guys for dinner as well if you'd like. And people would just take their own bags out of the van and off they would go.
It's got to be a great feeling to deliver that food and see people enjoying it, knowing that you've been able to put it together with your colleagues, other chefs, and in your restaurants, taking care of people that really need it.
It's gratifying, right? You know, I mean, this is what we do, right? We say at the restaurant that welcome is the first word you hear when you come in and the feeling we hope you leave with. And now what we're doing is trying to make everyone feel welcome, but not in a certain space, but just feeling welcome because they're in Sacramento. And the city, like I said before, you know what, this is a city where people just jump in and really help. So the help from all our friends who are distributors and purveyors with product, with people, you know, giving us cash, people going to the spot fund and donating, people wanting to distribute and help. And it's just been outstanding.
At your restaurant, you would change your menu daily, just depending on what was available from the farms or an organization like Nyman Ranch. Are you going to be doing that with this program as well?
Yeah. So Nyman, we spoke to them this morning. They have a certain amount of stuff that we'll be able to use next week, and then we'll talk more about that. The proteins generally have been coming in a little sooner. Some of those are coming out of the freezer, right, on what thing people are long on. Fruits and vegetables are coming as they come, right? I mean, whatever our friends, the farmers, are bringing. There was a guy from Fiery Ginger over in West Sac who was delivering a lot of salad mix to the schools. So they're not using them anymore. Boom, salad mix ends up here. Jim Durst from out in Solano has been very generous. And I told someone this morning, only half jokingly, that it seemed like the little space, the patio in front of our restaurant, had become an asparagus farm, because I come in every other morning and Jim has dropped off a mountain of asparagus for us as well to help people. And then what happens is then we take that and we process it, right? And so the restaurant's probably suited, you're right, because our menu changes every day when the restaurant is open. And so everybody who works for me is used to that idea of, not that we have a menu that we are doing that requires food, but that we have food that comes in that requires being turned into a menu.
So you're working directly with farms and companies like Nyman Ranch and Produce Express and a wide range, but it does connect you directly with local farms.
And so farmers directly, and Cape Hay Valley Farm Shop has been helpful, and California Alliance of Family Farmers has been hooking us up. UC Davis has a listserv. I now know what that means, where we can say to farmers, this is what we're looking for and this is how much we can pay out there in the field. So and a lot of it, quite frankly, Roger, is just people who are friends of the restaurant who are just coming in and saying, hey, I want to help. Because the truth is that while everybody is scared and everybody is hurting, what everybody wants more than anything else is to help, right?
Yeah.
And for us, the big success of Mulvaney's is it's a place that everyone feels a part of, right? And Sacramento is a place that's important to us, and we want everyone to feel a part of too. And so any contribution, right? Everybody's contributing to the same thing, trying to get us back on our feet and get us moving towards a brighter future.
There are federal emergency funds available to help small business. Will they help restaurants?
I think that every restaurateur with half a brain has now been sending flowers to their bankers to try and get the small business. So the Small Business Association is doing that, and we've been in touch with regular contact with our banker, getting all our plans ready and helping them. We're excited too. There are other programs. The governor just announced a little bit ago that he's going to forgive sales tax for California, maybe just for restaurants. I'm not sure. Maybe for everyone, but for the next year, as a form of no interest loan to people to help them move forward. Mm-hmm. And then because there's so many people, right? You saw the unemployment numbers this morning. There's so many people who are probably going to take care advantage and try to get in on this SBA loan process, that the governor has moved people and resources around to help the small businesses of California get access to the small business loans. My understanding is that the loans will be approved by the individual banks themselves without having to go back to Washington and come back here. So it'll lessen the time of process, but still, it's still a lot going on. And fortunately, like I said before, our governor's a restaurateur and understands the thin margins we work on.
If people like what you're doing and would like to see it happening all over, how do they help?
So I think that this is where, you know, they always say, call Washington, call your senators and congresspeople. And maybe you don't necessarily believe it, but I guess I'd point you to the Independent Restaurant Coalition, right? And how quickly we as independent restaurateurs banded together, stood up, brought our point to the table, and how quickly that was heard. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to talk to not only your representatives in Washington, but your representatives in the state capitol and your mayors and your city councilmen, your county supervisors, because there'll all be access, right? As we move forward and try and get the economy going again, they're going to be a part of that, and they're going to know where those levers are, and they respond to people. You know, we don't often think that, we often sometimes think that, well, we're just one voice. But the truth is that we are many voices. And when we put those together, right, one voice might be a thread, but many threads tied together is a rope, and a rope can be very strong.
How do we brand what you're doing?
Well, I think that for restaurants, what we say is that we're too small to fail. Right? Yeah. That's one of the hashtags, and the other hashtag is save restaurants, right? Because what are we going to do? What happens to the center of our community once we come back together? And then for us here in Sacramento, our program of feeding, we're calling it the family meal. We think that family meals can happen everywhere around the country.
Well, Chef Patrick Mulvaney, even when restaurants are being closed all over the country, we appreciate that you're finding a way to still provide leadership to the farm-to-table movement. You're doing a tremendous job.
Well, we're trying. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it. Stay healthy out there, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk. Join us again on Facebook or farmtotabletalk.com, or go to iTunes, where you can subscribe to receive regular podcasts. And while you're there, please give us a review and a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening to Farm to Table Talk.